Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhari, and today we're Maseches Pesachim Daf Tezvav. So the three topics are going to focus on number one in the Mishnah Daf Yud Alf Amud Alf. Rabbi Meir said, "Midivrei Lamadne Shesorfin Truma Tahora Ima Tameya BePesach." From their words, we learn that we may burn Tahor Chametz of Truma with Tamei Chametz of Truma erev Pesach. The Gemara in Yud Dalad Amud Beis asked, "Midivrei Deman?" From whose words? After rejecting the first suggestion, Rabbi Meir was referring to the words of Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara brings Reish Lakish, who said in the name of Bar Kappar that Rabbi Meir is referring to the words of Rabbi Yeshua brought later in the Mishnah, who says that one may burn Safek Tamei Truma Chametz with Tamei Chametz. Rabbi Meir derived his rule from a teaching of Rabbi Yeshua in a Mishnah from Trumos, in which Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Lezer in a case where a cask of Truma wine broke in the upper vat of a wine press, and the lower reservoir contains Chulin wine, that's Tamei. If one's not able to salvage a revius of Truma in a state of Tahara, because he has no Tahar vessel, Rabbi Eliezer says, Tered v'tetame, the Truma should be allowed to flow down and contaminate the Chulin, and one should not contaminate it with his own hand by taking a Tame vessel, even though he would save the Chulin. Rabbi Yeshua said, Af yitme en abiyat, he may even be metame the Truma with his own hand by capturing the Truma in a Tame vessel. Thus we see where Truma is about to be rendered unusable, Rabbi Yeshua allows even contaminating it with his own hand. Point number two, in response to Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said, Eina hi amida, it's not analogous, referring to Rabbi Yeshua, permitting one to capture tame wine in a vessel from the broken cask, even though he's metame with his hands, to the case of permitting one to burn safek tame truma chametz with tame chametz. The Gemara asks, Mida umidahi. It's perfectly analogous. The Gemara answers, Shani hasim de eka hapsit chulin. It's different because there's the consideration of the loss of chulin in the reservoir. Rabbi Yeshua allows being metame the truma with his hands in order to preclude a monetary loss if the truma was mixed with the chulin. In the case of burning safek tame truma chametz, he might forbid being metame with his own hands even where it's about to be destroyed. And point number three, Rabbi Asi said in the name of Yochanan, Machlokas b'sheish avo b'shevet divrei kol sorfim. The machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir pertains only during the sixth hour erev Pesach when chametz is asur midrabbanan. The Rabbi Meir permits burning the tahor chametz of truma with the tamei, and Rabbi Yossi forbids it. But during the seventh hour of the day and later, all agree that we may burn them together. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi concedes that once chametz is forbidden midraisa, we burn the tahor chametz of truma with the tamei, since it's tantamount to being Tamei Truma. So once again, the three points are number one. In the Mishnah on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, Rabbi Meir said, "Midivrei Lamadnu Shesorfin Truma Tahora Ima Tameya BePesach." From their words, we learned that we may burn Tahor Chametz of Truma with Tamei Chametz of Truma Erev Pesach. The Gemara on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis asks, "Midivrei Deman?" From whose words? After rejecting the first suggestion that Rabbi Meir was referring to the words of Rabbi Chanina, the Gemara brings Reish Lakish, who said in the name of Bar Kappar that Rabbi Meir was referring to the words Rabbi Yeshua brought later in the Mishnah, who says that one may burn Safek Tamei Truma Chametz with Tamei Chametz. Rabbi Meir derived his rule from a teaching of Rabbi Yeshua in a Mishnah from Trumos, in which Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer in a case where a cask of Truma wine broke in the upper vat of a wine press, and the lower reservoir contains Chulin wine that's Tamei. If one is not able to salvage Ravis of Truma in a state of Tahara, because he has no Tahara vessel, Rabbi Yezer says, Tered v'tetame, the Truma should be allowed to flow down and contaminate the Chulin, and one should not contaminate it with his own hand by taking a Tame vessel, even though he would save the Chulin. Rabbi Yeshua said, Av yetamen v'yad, he may even be metame the Truma with his own hand by capturing the Truma in a Tame vessel. Thus we see that where Truma is about to be rendered unusable, Rabbi Yeshua allows even contaminating it with his own hand. Point number two, in response to Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said, Eina hi amida. It's not analogous, referring to Rabbi Yeshua permitting one to capture tame wine in a vessel from the broken cask, even though he's metame with his hands, to the case of permitting one to burn safek tame truma chametz with tame chametz. The Gemara asks, Mida umidahi. It's perfectly analogous. So the Gemara answers, Shani hasim de eka hepset chuan. It's different because there's the consideration of the loss of chulin in the reservoir. Rabbi Yeshua allows being metame the truma with his hands in order to preclude a monetary loss if the truma was mixed with the chulin. In the case of burning safek tame truma chametz, he might forbid being metame it with his own hands, even where it is about to be destroyed. And point number three, Rabbi Asi said in the name of Yochanan, Machlokas b'sheish, aval b'sheva, divrei kol sorfin. The machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir pertains only during the sixth hour, Erev Pesach, when chametz is aser mid the Rabban, where Rabbi Meir permits burning the tower chametz of Truma with the Tame, and Rabbi Yossi forbids it. But during the seventh hour of the day, and later, all agree that we may burn them together. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi concedes that once chametz is forbidden mid the Raisa, we may burn the tower chametz of Truma with the Tame, since it's tantamount to Tame Truma. All right, so now we go to our simfer dav tezvav, and our standard simon is a fruit bowl. And the way we get to that is tezvav reminds us of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, we have lots of fruit. And since I find it difficult to work with just a single piece of fruit or fruit for a simon, so we're going to use a fruit bowl, if that makes sense. So here goes. The winemaker dashed and grabbed his tummy fruit bowls to capture Truma falling out of the broken cask of the winepress to save his expensive chum below, while everybody outside was tossing their tower chametz of Truma into the fire with the tummy chametz at the seventh hour. Once again, in slow motion. The winemaker dashed and grabbed his tummy fruit bowls. Fruit bowls, that must mean Rondav Tezvav. The winemaker dashed and grabbed his tummy fruit bowls to catch her truma falling out of the broken cask of the winepress, which reminds us that when Rimer said, Midivrehem Lamanu, from their words we learn, the Gemara tries to clarify, from the words of whom? Reish Lakish said in the Bar Kapar, the Rimer was referring to the words Rabbi Yeshua mentioned later in the Mishnah, based on a case of a broken cask of tower truma where Rabbi Yeshua permits being metame tar truma with his hands to save the chun it would otherwise fall into. So the winemaker dashed and grabbed his tummy fruit bowls to catch her truma falling out of the broken cask of the winepress to save his expensive chun below, which reminds us that the Gemara says the two cases of being metame the tar truma with one's hands and throwing the tar chametz in the fire with the tummy chametz are not analogous, since perhaps Rabbi Yeshua permits being metame the tar truma to prevent a monetary loss to the chun. So the winemaker dashed and grabbed his tummy fruit bowls to catch her truma falling out of the broken cask of the winepress to save his expensive chum below, while everybody outside was tossing their tower chametz of truma into the fire with the tummy chametz at the seventh hour, which reminds us that everybody agrees that it's permitted to burn the tower truma chametz with the tummy chametz at the seventh hour when the chametz is forbidden midaraisa. So once again, the winemaker dashed and grabbed his tummy fruit bowls to catch her truma falling out of the broken cask of the winepress to save his expensive chulun below, while everybody outside was tossing their tower chametz of truma into the fire with the tummy chametz at the seventh hour. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Yudov. So the simon Daf Yudov is stars, like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. There were so many dazzling gold stars. Stars, that must be where in Daf Yudov. There were so many dazzling gold stars hanging all over the marketplace of Yerushalayim, full of flour and roasted grain. Which reminds us, the Gemara explained on Daf Yud Amud Beis that the reason that Rabbi Yehuda holds that one cannot do bedika once it becomes forbidden to eat chametz, gezer dima asil mechomine, because of a decree against the possibility that if you were to find chametz, you might come to eat it while handling it. The Gemara asks that we have another Mishnah from Menachos that states that after the Karban HaOmer was brought, the markets of Yerushalayim were already full of flour and roasted grain from the new produce. It's evident that the flour was harvested, ground, and sifted before Pesach. Rabbi Meir said that the Chamim did not approve that people had prepared the produce before the Karban HaOmer was brought, because they might have eaten it. And Rabbi Yehuda said that they did approve of this. We see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we are not concerned that one will eat something forbidden while he's busy with it. Abaye answered, Chadesh bildimine, chametz bildimine. A person is detached from chadesh since he's not accustomed to eat from it all year and therefore not in the habit of picking some up and putting it in his mouth without thinking. A person is not detached from chametz and therefore we are concerned that a person will eat it without thinking after it became prohibited. Two other answers were given. So there were so many dazzling gold stars hanging over the marketplace of Yerushalayim full of flour and roasted grain that people couldn't tell if it was the fifth hour or the seventh hour. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, where Meir says, Ochlin kol chamesh v'sorfin v'tchilas sheish, that one may eat chametz the entire fifth hour of the 14th of Nisan, and one must burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rashi explains that even though midaraisa chametz is permissible to eat the entire sixth hour, the Rabbanan is forbidden because people might make a mistake and think that the seventh hour is the sixth hour, and eat chametz. But the Yudah disagrees and says, Tolin kol chametz, we suspend chametz during the fifth hour. Rashi explains that this means that although one may feed chametz to his animals during the fifth hour, he may not eat chametz during this time. Rashi explains Rabbi Yudah's reasoning that we're concerned that it will be the seventh hour, and one will think that it's the fifth hour, and eat chametz. So there are so many dazzling gold stars hanging all over the marketplace of Yerushalayim full of flour and roasted grain, that people couldn't tell if it was the fifth hour or the seventh hour. And witnesses to a murder testified it occurred on different days. Which reminds the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Sanhedrin in order to eventually introduce a difficulty with our Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah states that if one witness testifies that someone killed a person on the second of the month, and a second witness testifies that he killed on the third of the month, Idusin Kayemis, their testimony is upheld. The reason is that we assume that they're testifying about the same event, just that the witness who says the second day of the month was aware that the month before him was 30 days, and the witness who testified on the third day thought that the previous month was 29 days. However, if one testified that it happened on the third of the month, and the other testified that it happened on the fifth of the month, Eidus and Batela, their testimony is disqualified. As Rashi explains, it can't be that a person was 2 days off in their count of the day. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simur Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers. 12 brothers. That must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a Mishnah from Sanhedrin Daf Mem Amud Aleph that states that in regard to witnesses who testify that they saw someone kill, the court would check the trustworthiness of each witness with 7 questions about when and where they saw the killing. During which Shemitah cycle, which year of the Shemitah cycle, which month of the year, which day of the month, which day of the week, which hour of the day, in which place. These questions are in a category called chakiros. There are other questions, chabadikos, which Rashi explains are such questions as, what did he kill with, a sword or an axe? The Gemara on Ardaf asks what the practical difference is between chakiros and badikos, and answers that regarding chakiros, if one witness answers that he doesn't know, their testimony is disqualified. Because it's testimony that cannot be refuted through hazama. Since the second set of witnesses will be unable to prove his testimony was false by testifying he was somewhere else at the time of the crime. If one of the witnesses cannot answer one of the bedikos, their testimony is still accepted, since their testimony can be refuted through hazama. Rashi explains that whether the accused was wearing black clothes or white ones has no bearing on the time or location of the offense. So the 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning, which reminds us, the Gemara brings up brayso that lists the times that different people eat in the morning. Sharishona Machal Ludim. The first hour of the day is when a cannibal tribe called the Ludim eat because they're gluttons. Shnia Machal Listim. The second hour is when thieves eat, who are also gluttons but get up later since they're up at night. Shlishis Machal Yorshim. The third hour is when inheritors eat since they do not have to work. Revis Machal Polim. The fourth hour is when workers eat because they have to carry out their work first. Chamishis Machal Talmid Chachamim. The fifth hour is when Talmid Chachamim eat since they're busy learning they should wait until the last possible time. Shishis Machal Adam. The sixth hour is when all other people eat. The Braisa concludes, Mekan ve'ela kazorik evan l'chemes. One who eats past this hour is like one who throws a stone into a leather sack. Rashi and Shabbos and Daf Yud Amud Aleph explains this to mean either that it's harmful to the body or that it's not harmful to the body, but it's not helpful either. Abai said this was stated only the low tam midi b'tzafet, when he did not eat anything at all in the morning. However, if he ate something in the morning, this doesn't apply. So the 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning recognized the picture of the suspect, but some said he came before Nates, and others said he came at the beginning of Nates. Which reminds us, Rav Simi Bar Ashi said that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin regarding a discrepancy in testimony was only taught for shows, regarding discrepancies in the hours of the day. However, if one witness testifies that he saw someone kill before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies that he saw the person kill after the sun rose, Eidusim Betela, their testimony is disqualified. The Gemara asks that this is obvious since people do not get confused between these two time periods. The Gemara changes the wording to Aval Echad Omer Kodem Anei Tzachama, Ve'echad Omer Betoch Anei Tzachama, Eidus Mbetela. However, if one witness testifies that he saw something before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies that he saw something during the rising of the sun, which Rashi explains to mean at the beginning of the sun's rising, their testimony is disqualified. The Gemara says that this too is obvious, and then clarifies that one might have thought that they're saying the same thing, and the one who said it occurred at Nates was present at the glow before sunrise, and it was merely a radiance he saw, and he mistakenly thought the sun was already rising. Rav Simi Bar Ashi is coming to say that no one would make such a mistake. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simur Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy. Bar mitzvah boy. That must be more Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy who ran through the crowd of marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brayso that when the 14th falls on Shabbos, Mevarin is a kumim fnei Shabbos. We dispose of everything before Shabbos, v'sorfin trumas tameos, tuyos, utahoros. And we burn chametz truma foods that are tame, suspended, and tahor, and we leave over enough tahor food for 2 meals, enough to eat through the first 4 hours of the day. These are the words of Elazar ben Yehuda, Ish Bar Tosa, who said in the name of Yeshua. The Chami said to him that the tahor truma should not be burned, for perhaps people can eat them, will be found. Melezer said they looked for people to eat the chametz but couldn't find them, so there's no point to holding on to it. They replied that perhaps they stayed overnight outside the wall. He responded that in that case they shouldn't burn the Safek Tami Truma, since Eliyahu might come and rule that they're tower. And they responded that we have a tradition, Shein Eliyahu Ba, Lo Barbi Shabbasos, Velo Barbi Yamin Tovim, Mifnei HaTorach, that Eliyahu would not arrive Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantin because of difficulties it would impose on people to have to interrupt their preparations to greet Eliyahu. So the bar mitzvah boy ran through the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz, bumped into a man with chametz leaking out of his bag. Which reminds Rav Nachman said the name of Rav that the halakha of Rabbi Yehuda that we suspend the chametz during the fifth hour and that it cannot be eaten, but it does not need to be destroyed. The Gemara cites that support Rav Nachman from an incident with Yochanan Chalkukah, who was given a saddlebag full of chametz as a deposit. When mice pierced the bag Erev Pesach and the chametz was leaking out, he asked Rabbi what he should do, and he was told to wait during the first 4 hours. Rashi explains that the owner might come and eat the chametz before it becomes prohibited. In the fifth hour, Rebbe told him to sell it to the market. The Gemara initially assumes and then confirms that Rebbe meant he should sell it to Nachim in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, who holds chametz is prohibited after the fourth hour. So the bar mitzvah boy who ran through the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz bumped into a man with chametz leaking out of his bag, who was peering through his binoculars at the two challahs psulos placed on top of the itztaba. Which reminds the Mishnah and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis state that two pasul challahs that were brought with the Karban Todah are placed on the itztaba, a bench on the Har HaBayis. As long as they were placed here, everyone ate chametz. When one was removed, they would suspend chametz, meaning they wouldn't eat it or burn it. When both were removed, they burned the chametz. The Gemara Amud Beis here asks how they became pasul, and Rabbi Chanina said, Metok she'yu merubos nipsalos belina. Because there were so many Todah offerings brought the day before, they became invalidated by being left overnight. The Gemara goes on to explain that Todah offerings were not brought Erev Pesach when chametz is still permitted. She'ein mevin kachim ubeis apsul. We may not expose offerings to a situation where they will become pasul. Daf Yadalit. So the simmer Daf Yadalit is hands. We use a juggler in the simmer. So here goes. The tamei juggler. Juggler, that must mean we're on Daf Yadalit. The tamei juggler juggling pieces of shlishi meat with Rishon meat, which reminds us, the next Mishnah and the following seven blot are known as the Sugya of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohan because the Mishnah opens with the following statement. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohan said, Mimeim shel kohani lo nimnu melisrof es habasar shenitma bevladatuma im habasar shenitma ba'avatuma. In all the days of the Kohanim, they never refrained from burning meat of Kajim that had become tame from a vladatuma, making the meat a sheni, together with the meat of Kajim that had become tame from an avatuma, making the meat a Rishon. Apo pisho mosifin tumal tumasu, even though by doing so, they added a degree of tumah to its previous tumah. Rashi explains that since the meat was being burned away, the Kohanim weren't concerned about an increase in the tumah. The Gemara begins by asking what tumah is added, since a sheni that touches a rishon remains a sheni. Rav Yudah said, "Hachem b'vlad vladaskinin the havelei shlishi." Here we're dealing with meat that became tame through a sheni, making it a shlishi, and by burning it together with a rishon, raises it to a sheni, and Rabbi Chanina holds it's mutter to make a shlishi into a sheni. So the tamei juggler juggling pieces of shlishi meat with rishon meat while chomping on wet seeds touched by a sheretz, which reminds us, the Gemara persists in questioning how the degree of tumah was increased since food cannot be matame food as it was taught in a braisa, yachu ye ocho matame ocho. It might be thought that a food can be matame food. The Torah therefore states, Talmud lomar v'ki yutin mayim al zera v'nafam nivasam alav tamehu. But if water has been placed on a seed, and then their carcass, referring to a sheretz, falls upon it, it is tame. The phrase, it is tame, implies that the seed itself is tame, but it cannot make something else of its nature, meaning another food, tame. Therefore, when one burns meat that is a shlishi together with meat that is a rishon, what tuma is being added? The Gemara concludes that although a food cannot be matame another food, midoraisa, it can be matame midorabanan. Rabbi Chanina was teaching that one can burn the shlishi meat with rishon meat, even though it becomes a sheni with the rabbanan. So the tamei juggler juggling pieces of shlishi meat with rishon meat while chomping on wet seeds touched by a sheretz wowed the crowd when he balanced a lamp of trum oil on top of the point of an avatuma sword that was perched on the tip of his nose. Which reminds us that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva added, Mimeim shel kohani l'mnimnu l'mahadlik as Hashem shenipsal b'tvul yom b'ner shenitma t'mei meis. In all the days of the Kohanim, they never refrained from lighting truma oil from a tvul yom, was a sheni, making the oil a shlishi, in a lamp that had become tamei from one who become tamei from a corpse, making the lamp a rishon, even though it added a degree of tumah to its previous tumah. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Kiva is adding, since it's the same case of a shlishi being touched by a rishon to become a sheni, like Rabbi Chanina's case. If you'd answer that we're dealing with a metal lamp, of which the Torah teaches, b'chal of cherub, the body of someone felled by a sword, cherub haru kachal, a sword or any metal utensil that touches a dead body is itself like the body in regard to tumah, and becomes an aviavosa tumah. If it touches a person who touched a corpse, it becomes an avatumah like the person. B'Kiva holds that tumah, which is a shlishi, may be made into a rishon when it touches the lamp, which is an avatumah. All right, we're going to finish the shir here because I see we're reaching the 20-minute mark. These blot are quite dense from Chanina Skana Kohanim, so I'm going to give you a little breather, and then a separate file, I'll send the daily pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.